Hangar on Art is a radio program that investigates, experiments, inquires into art practices and critical theory as an extension to the Hangar Exhibitions, Residencies, Education and Research Program. The program sets a dialogue of a wide range of relationships which are established between artists, theorists, curators and researchers. Hangar on Art will feature thoughtful reflections, creative interventions, and thematic analysis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hangar on Art Radio. Edson Chagash joins us today. He is an Angolan photographer living between Lisbon and Luanda. Trained as a photojournalist, his images explore the residues of abandoned cities and query how consumerism has come to shape places, identities, and histories. In 2013, Edson represented Angola at the Venice Biennale, for which he won its Golden Lion for Best National Pavilion. He has also previously exhibited at the Museum of Modern Art, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Cape Town, and he was awarded the 2018 African Art Award by the Smithsonian. In October this year, Edson opened his show, Factory of Disposable Feelings, at Hangar in Lisbon. He joins us today to speak about the exhibition and about his practice. Thank you, Edson, for joining us today.
Hello, thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me, for having me here. And thank you for Hangar as well, for the opportunity to show this work. It was first shown in Cape Town a few years ago, and it's the first time that I'm showing here in Portugal, Lisbon. Mm-hmm.
And it was also the first time that it was the full set?
No, actually, there was never the full set. There is more images, but you have to work with the space. So the space actually is the one who rules normally how you select how many images and how you're going to make the things work with the space. So that's why you have around 14 images. Mm-hmm. But the full work is more than 20.
Okay, let's speak a little bit about the background of this project. So it was shot on site in Luanda at Fabrica Irmãos Carneiro.
Yes, right? In Kazinga. It's like a bigger Luanda, like one of the biggest areas in Luanda.
And why did you choose this site?
Well, actually, it was interesting because it was not something that I found or it was more like I heard about it. Someone that knows my practice, knows my work, told me about the factory and he told me that I could have access. And if I wanted to go there, then he'd look at it and speak with the people and see if it interested me in. Because also I'm very interested in this subject of the industry and factories. So I think this will not be the first. This was the first one, but might not be the last. And it was just, I went to look at it, to visit. I spoke the first day when I went there, I spoke with one of the sons of the owners of the factory, which is Pedro, and with two security guards that actually were part of the people who worked there before. So yeah, that's how basically it was very open as well, because I even told them that I would not be doing like a documentary. He also didn't ask me, can you do a documentary, like do my family story or blah. No, he just was very open for me to do whatever I want and just to, you know, be in the space and see and interact with the space.
It's an abandoned factory, is it now?
Well, not really. It was a textile factory. It was opened during colonial times, and then after independence, they kept working as a textile factory. They would produce also at the time some things for the military, for the FA, which was at that time was the Angolan army at the time. Yeah. And yeah, so it closed, like, let's say, around, I went there 2017, and they told me that it was closed 7 years ago, something like that. So I closed like around 2010, 2009, something like that.
And so, I mean, yeah, I had this question of why you chose a site, but someone had told you about it based on your work. So yeah. In the context of your work, why do you think this site makes sense?
Well, I think because of my interest in going and trying to dig, let's say, stories or in spaces where things are abandoned or like objects that somehow meant something and then they stop meaning what they meant to be or what they were made to be used. So I think that's also the reason why the person that knows me and that knows my work felt that to be a space where I'll be interested to come into. And also because of, well, I mean, sometimes many spaces that I wanted to go, I never end up having the access. So also the access there was something that was, because it's a private space. You just don't go and walk around, and it's not abandoned because they have securities there. And also there, I think Pedro told me that at the time when I was there, they were starting building another site for some other industry that I want to be, they are interested now to make, which was about agriculture, something like that. So the site that had the textile machines and there was the factory, but that one was abandoned, let's say, was not being used. Yeah. But the only thing that was there was the objects. But also for me, my interest also went into a situation where I didn't concentrate. Somehow that space became, it was about the space, but then the space would, or even the objects that I would find there would bring you to a bigger space, which is Luanda. And sometimes to even bigger space. I mean, it was like a zoom in that became a zoom out, let's say. So in that, that's when I started going there many times in 2017. And then in 2018, I went back, and selected this group of images. So that was kind of the process. And also the fact that normally in some works that I did, I interact with the objects. In this one, I didn't feel like the need to interact with the objects or to move them, or because everything was kind of as if someone has already arranged everything there, separated. And actually they did that because some of these materials they were reusing if they needed to the new sites. So that's why things were so like collective and waiting, let's say, because one of the things also that interested me was this pose of the objects where they look like they're waiting for something to happen, or they're going to be used again, or they're not being used again, or, you know. And some of the objects as well remind me of the situation that we're living in Luanda at the time, in Angola, you know, the crisis, also the situation of the crisis of the currency really going really down. At the time, I remember that many friends, even in my family, some people lost their jobs because they were working in the oil companies. So there was a lot of things going on, which I could feel that those feelings inside of the factory.
I want to go back to this point, comment of the phrase you used of the pulse of the objects, because something I was really aware of in seeing your exhibition and reading your text was there's a deep, deep intimacy with what's being viewed. It feels like they're objects that you know each other. You know, there's a that's how it felt for me anyway, in viewing it. And I was reading about the sense that you had of how it was to visit these places that have a history that's entangled with your own history, and this idea of hauntings and ghosts. And I guess I'm curious about how you decided to, or if how you negotiated that intimacy. Like you spoke before about coming across sites that felt like they had been arranged, and that you then didn't want to go and put yourself in them or interact with them. So I'm curious about that, the encounter.
Yeah, it was interesting because I'll be there and that sometimes I'll be left alone. And I think that makes it easier for you to actually start seeing things, you know? Because if you have too many, the place was quite chaotic, but when you are around spaces that look like a bit chaotic, but you are with silence, then you are more with your mind, and then you are more aware, and then you are more selective, and then you are more interactive with the space rather than being distracted or talking or, you know. So, it was very, I didn't was like, oh, I'm going to select this, because it was really something like very spontaneous. But I had to feel. I think the most important thing was to feel. And then the process of, you know, pointing the camera and then shooting until, you know, you really feel that it's a connection, it's some sort of a connection. And that was kind of the way I did. It's quite funny. Then after, I had to get an assistant. And at that time, I was already, it was in 2018, that's when I used a friend of mine, actually. I work with a friend of mine. I invited him to come with me and to help me tripod. Because I don't know if I said before, but I photographed inside and outside of the, let's say, inside, which is the factory where the machines were, but then you have the outside space, which belongs also the factory. So I was not focused only on the textile factory So when I start going with my friend, the funny thing was that we would go, and for so many days, I would go, photograph, you'd be there, I would be in silence, you'd try to speak with me, I'd say, no, we don't speak now. And he would be like just smoking cigarettes and looking at me and photographing. And for so many days, he was not looking at the image. I was the one photographing and going home and looking at the images. He was not with me on that process. And then one day we were in a bar. He was talking about what he was doing with me, because people would see us going to the factory during the morning, very clean. And then we would come back as like if we are coming from, I don't know, from a construction site. Full of dust and like completely, crazy. And then he would say, well, I don't know what he's doing. And you go there. He asked me to hold some things and like the tripod or the camera or the lens or whatever. But I don't know what he's doing. And it's crazy because the place looks awful. Everything is like the only rubbish there. And everybody was like, okay, crazy. And then I thought, okay, that's interesting. He never saw actually what I'm doing. I even felt like, oh, I forgot to actually show the images. And then next day I went there and photographed, which is actually, this photograph is not in this series here in the downstairs, but it's a picture where you have full of these objects inside of a cage, and I photographed them and from outside of the cage. And then I said, okay, please come here, look at the image. And then I put play on the camera. And it was so interesting that when he saw the image, it felt like, you know, when someone opens their eyes like this and he's looking at the space and he's looking at the image, he's like, wow, this is like, it seems like those objects want to run away. It seems like they are in cage and then they want to run away. So that was kind of one of the things that made me feel like, okay, so you feel.
Yeah.
So then there is these things that, that trigger. So that's why I'm saying that it's quite difficult to explain how the selection is, but it's more about being alone in the space than interacting with the space. The only thing is that you're interacting with your eyes, your mind, normally you feel when you touch something or when you hear something, when you look at something, of course, but yeah. So then was this looking at things and some sort of making them get some sort of, I don't know even if it's meaning, but some sort of feeling, some sort of life. Yeah. I don't know if that's explained.
No, it does. And it's really interesting as well, because I know what you mean by the site being this chaotic mess. You know, we've all had those moments where you've jumped into the back window of a ruin or you go to an industrial site or something like this. And one thing I remember is that feeling of, at first, it's curious and interesting and there's a sort of voyeuristic aspect. But in the sites, at least that I've been in, after a certain amount of time, it becomes quite laborious. Like, it's quite hard to endure destruction. Destruction around you. And I guess I'm curious about this moment, and I appreciate what you've explained, because this moment of these objects behind a cage and your friend's experience is something that I think there is a kind of surreal quality to some of your images, where it starts to feel like they're almost disassembling themselves from the context, or they're starting to kind of float. And I guess I'm curious, that was my curiosity of where and how this moment kind of emerges. I'm happy that you described that.
Yeah, actually, it's something that has been carried around since it starts. Even though it's found not taken, that's why. But then I felt like moving things, which was more in the city, where I was looking to these objects, this kind of object, and then I would grab them and try to find a place that I would feel they're suitable. And also with the there is also this process where I want to, in terms of, to get feelings out of the images that I make. So it's not something that representative of some sort of reality, but probably trying to be likely the world represent, let's say a feeling. Yeah. So in that sense, yes, that's the thing that makes me sometimes like go around in the way the project sometimes starts. It's in many ways, in the conversation, someone tell me about some place, so tell me about some sort of thing, or sometimes even philosophy. I mean, it's a lot of things that if it grabs me, if I start interacting, start thinking, if it stays a long time in my mind, I start thinking about an image, how I can visualize that.
You said that you spoke with the former workers in the factory?
Yes.
How did that influence?
It was not like an interview. It was like an informal conversation, really.
Yeah.
And they actually live around Kazenga and they worked there. They told me a little bit how important was the factory for them. And also some funny stories, because sometimes the machines would break, like would not work. And some of them would like hit the machine, like bang, let's say. So in order, like when we were kids and the television is not working, you start banging to see if the, you know, the cable or something. And I felt from the stories and also from what materials that Pedro showed me, the title, I think, was quite quick to make. I
mean, yes, please tell us about the title.
It was just like after talking with them, I look. I was with some. I think this friend of mine was with me, and I said, "Yeah, this is the factory of disposable feelings." So it was quite. It just came.
Yeah.
And it came in English, actually, not in Portuguese. But it was quite. I spoke with them, and then he showed me, like Pedro showed me, a set of images, because they have like a little archive of the people who worked there. So he had like a little the passport pictures, like these tipo pass pictures, a lot of them, like in the book or something. Then he showed me, and I felt in the way they were speaking about the space, I felt like this was a space that was actually very important in this area. They would give jobs, they would interact with the community in terms of even for jobs, let's say, for workers. Yeah.
But why do you think it was disposable? What was disposable about?
Well, the disposable was the object in a sense as well, and also in a way that how a strong feeling about something somehow becomes, you know, a sense of a factory that created so many good spirits and good vibes, and then it's not working anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's disposable. So in that sense, that's why the word,
yeah,
the idea of being disposable. Yeah.
This, just thinking about your process there, it starts to make me imagine a bit about we were talking earlier before the recording about being a photojournalist or an artist, and
I think I'm in between.
I think that too.
I think those things influenced me. It's true. I think photojournalism for me gave me the sense. I always had that when I was the sense of social. You know, I was young, save the world. So, you know, there's this, I felt more like something that I would, you know, use as something to communicate and to interact with the world. But studying photojournalism then also made me think that probably those days were already kind of, you know, the practice was already for me not enough. And that's when I remember when I was studying ETIC in the EPI in Lisbon, I had this module during the course, photography course, because I did like photojournalism here. It gives you access to the second grade, and after that you can go to the university. So it was like 3 years. And during these 3 years, I had like a photojournalism, I think advertising, photography, fashion, and then fine art photography, which they would call creative photography. Which photojournalism and creative photography, let's say, was the ones that I really kind of felt more, let's say, related to myself. I remember that those days, I was not someone that I would enjoy being inside of a dark room or like inside of a studio. That was not something that I really enjoyed. And with the creative photography, the possibilities of how you could deal with the images and how you could communicate things and about anything, you know. So it was also something that kind of stayed with me. And that was just, I think today I'm this mixture, maybe. Yeah. This kind of, this in between those two practices. Yeah.
But you're not trying to save the world anymore?
Well, I'm not trying to destroy it for sure.
That helps.
Yeah. No, but of course, yeah. Of course, we all, everything that we do, we kind of, you know, and then if you share ideas, even if you're not, let's say, literally saving the world, but at least you are trying to communicate and to bring something that we can all understand when we are and what we are doing and for a better conditions in society.
So in that regard, I mean, we were talking also in the text for your exhibition, there was a discussion around these types of images helping to create alternate futurity as well, and alternate futures for how you see Luanda or Luanda's identity or Angola's identity. How do you see the relationship between image making and that kind of identity building or correcting an identity?
I don't know if I understand the question, but I think it's for me, it's more like going around somewhere, interacting, and then when you have, let's say, an image or a writing, or depending on your practice, then you have the time to reflect, to engage with reflection. And I think one of the things that I feel and it's needed more than, let's say, creating identity, idea. I don't know if I understood your question, but I'm trying to.
So,
I will try yeah. to get there. So, I think for me, it's more dealing, because in a way, what I'm trying to do is to bring questions and to make us to be more reflective about things rather than coming with particular image to create some sort of identity or connecting images with identity or something like that. But it's more like, we need to, even like today that we live in an era where you have a lot of images, but then they kind of come, they're like popcorns, boom, boom, but you don't even have time to eat. So for me, in my practice in the language of photography, let's say, I try always to, of course, I'm following my ways, but the idea is like, I want to produce the image and then I want to live with them. I want to look at them and reflect and see what they make me go through and what kind of ideas bring discussions and bring all these layers into the table for us to speak about it. And through those conversations is when probably the idea of identity, the idea of social environments, the idea of what we are doing and what we are living becomes real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to start flying now.
No, but we were talking before, again, I get before the recording about We were talking before the recording about all the travel and the different shows and exhibitions.
Oh.
And so when you're saying, you know, it's about the conversations that are stimulated, how do you feel has been the conversation in the art world around Angola or around the former colonies of Portugal? Do you see an evolution in how that identity is being viewed or understood? In the conversations that you have?
I think there's a lot of catch up to do still. See, there is a lot of, I think we started too late because of many other things probably. But I think the good thing is that it started. That's important. And the way also in terms of arts in, let's say, in Angola, things, you know, now you start having a lot of more comparing like with 10 years ago, what we have now, I think it's a good start. Yes, I would not define it as if it's good or bad. Like, I don't think that's the, but I think, yeah, it's a good start. We are talking now. So that's a good thing. Yeah. I don't have any idea of telling you if is it going in the right. I think, in a way, yes. But yes, I think the most important is that the conversations are happening. There is a lot of things going. I mean, of course, today, I don't know. I don't think that's, no, forget it.
not of course today. So what about in Lisbon? What about in Portugal? How do you think the conversation is evolving here or developing here in relation to places like Angola or Mozambique, Cabo Verde, and the kind of relationships that are maybe being developed through the arts?
Well, let's say like involving like all. Let's say I think like before I remember. Even like in Africa, the countries would not speak as they speak. Like with the, I would not see like interaction between African countries like we see now. And I'm talking about the arts. Yeah. So,
yes.
And the same thing I would apply here, I think. Like Angad is one space that actually helps, one of the spaces that helps these kind of interactions, which I think it's important. But I think it's still a lot to do. Yeah, I think in terms of what you are questioning me, I think there's a lot of things to do. We are not done yet. Mm. Yeah, we need to talk more seriously.
What do you think needs to be done?
Yeah, what has to be done?
I mean, we only have a little bit of time. Yeah. So don't take too long. Quickly, what do you think needs to be done now?
How can I say what is coming into my mind? I don't know, it's so many things, but at the same time, nothing is in my head right now, to be honest. But I'm sure there is a lot. I mean, let's say Angar. And it also depends in which context, because the question you're making, there's so many things you can point. Mm. But also, I don't know which ones you are. I mean, it's in terms of the arts, the communication between countries that speak Portuguese, let's say. I think today there is more communication, but still each one in their own middle, let's say. That's why I say that we have a lot of, we still have a lot to do regarding the communication, regarding the contextualization of things as well, regarding the aspect of seeing this as something to embrace and not to separate in terms of, oh, this is North African thing or this is European. I mean, this kind of, the word in English now is failing.
Liminal?
No, this, what you say?
Liminal, like in between.
The institutions as well also need to probably bear a sense of what we want with this interaction, because in a way we're interacting, but not coming this idea of not getting to this idea like as if, okay, this is the time we're talking about this, now we have to do this or we have to do that. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah, like not in a reactive way where they say, oh, now we're going to bring in this policy.
Yeah.
You know, only having black artists.
Yeah.
Because we've done it now. It's the problem. Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah.
In that way, I think that's not the way.
Yes.
But to look at it, actually, at the actual people they are doing and what they are working on, following, you know. So I think in that aspect, still a lot to do, still a lot to learn from and to speak for. Yeah. I think I managed well.
Yes, you did. You're managing it very well. I mean, so the only question I really still have outstanding for myself is, do you think you'll go back to the factory?
Well, then probably now it's completely changed.
Yeah.
Probably but, not to that one. Probably to another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably to... Because I went to that one and then there is other ones. But I think I don't want to also, let's say, now become the factory guy that goes to every factory and photograph. I don't know, it has to have like... Because there was, even though it was someone who told me what it was and that... made me the possibility to go there and meet the people and in the space as well. But it was kind of magical to happen. I have been in other spaces where, there is these things, these objects, but didn't feel anything. So I took some images and then I felt, no, I don't think my spirit is okay. So it depends. I mean, it's not like now I'm going to tick all the factories in Angola or in Africa and then start doing it. No, it's not like that.
Mm.
As to, there was kind of a something, it's like when, I don't know if, it's like you have stairs, and those stairs will take you to somewhere, but you don't know. But then you start going like, oh, let me just, and then go down to this stair, then you go to another, and then you realize you are in some space that you actually feel that you can do something, that you can interact with. So,
very embodied feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for this great conversation and for your photographs and your exhibition at Hungar. It was great. And I hope all of our listeners at home enjoyed this conversation with Edson Chagan.
Thank you very much, Nitya. And thank you again to Hungar. And yes, let's have a beer.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone.